Taranaki's stunning coastline is also one of the fastest eroding coastlines in the world. Since 2000, photographer Pat Greenfield has walked it, documenting the impact of storms, earthquakes and erosion, and it's been sobering. For example, two of the rock stack formations that she calls the Three Sisters and Four Brothers have been decimated by storms. A selection of her photographs of the Tongapurutu coastline are on show at New Plymouth's Puke Ariki, and we have some of them on our webpage for you, rnz.co.nz/standingroomonly. Pat explains why the stretch of northern Taranaki coastline means so much to her.
When I first went up, it was the same as any other photographer. You know, you go up and it's nice to look at the sisters and everything else. But then I wanted to go over to the other side of the river, the Tongapurutu River. So I finally got down to Pilot Point. There was a couple of big tabletop-sized boulders, and I sat and had lunch there, and then I started to take some photos, and then the bloody tripod head packed up, so all the swearing in the world didn't fix it. So I thought, I'll come back again in a fortnight during the next low tide and re-photograph everything. And, of course, when I went back, everything had changed. The boulders I'd sat on had gone and everything else. And then I thought, oh, if things are changing so fast, perhaps I should record them. So that was where it all started. And so for that year, we lost, you know, one of the sisters and one of the brothers. And it's like a relationship. The more you know someone, you get to know their moods and everything else. And it's the same with the coast. So it's like equating to a lover. The more you know them, the more you come to love them, I suppose, or love it with the coastline. That wasn't how it started out, and that's how it's gone. And it's almost like the coast wanted me to tell its story. So the first year, we had a lot happening. We had storms, and then we had, like, the superstorm event in 2004. That's where you get two or more storms run so close together. They, in effect, act as a single event, because the recovery time in between is insufficient. And then I thought, perhaps I better do it a bit longer, because that could have been an anomaly, you know, a one-off. And it just gradually went on and on from there. And also, it's also been a photographer. I know there's heaps of other photographers who are miles better than I'll ever be. And so the other way you can eliminate your competition is to do something over time. And, of course, the longer you do something, the more valuable the images become. And no one can go back in time, so no one can compete against you.
So, Pat, if we were sitting side by side and we had some of those first photographs from 20-odd years ago and we had the most recent photographs, how dramatically different is the stretch of coast looking now?
You wouldn't recognise it. Part of the exhibition is, like, when I started doing that, I thought, I'll photograph the cliffs in sequence. What that means is you go down at the wave line and you take a series of photos, so you've got the whole cliffs and beach looking to landward instead of out to sea in sequence. So I determined to do that every 5 years. So I did the first cliff sequencing in 2003. And then I redid it last year. So it will show the changes 18 years apart. But the thing that really struck me was not so much the changes that have happened on the beach and the cliffs, but the vegetation. You know, the trees that were all small to begin with, they've sort of grown right up. So that was the thing that struck me, and that was what I hadn't actually noticed. That's what, you know, photography is good, is you can be so concentrating on one part of it that you miss something else that's just as important. And of course, all those trees and things on top of the cliff, they will all eventually fall into the sea. And now that our climate is warming, the rate of loss is accelerating. So it means I've documented the death of one sister, but I've also recorded the birth of another. So, like, say in the past, each of the sisters' rock stacks might have lived for, say, just say, for example, 500 years. Well, now with the climate warming, you know, they might die in 80 years or something. So that's the other thing about this. It gives researchers, school children and everyone else, it gives a baseline figure of when something happens and how long again. Like the rock stacks, families. They're like humans. You're born, you have a life, and you die. But the lineage continues. And that's the same with those. So I don't regard them as sort of rocks. They're sort of like family. On this time, I've just concentrated on two beaches. That's the Three Sisters Beach and the Four Brothers Beach, because they've got public access, whereas the whole project actually runs from Tikau Aupā right down to Whitecliffs. But this way, I focused it on the two beaches that people can actually get to easily and see for themselves. It gets sobering, realising that parts of the coast that you could access, you can't anymore. And, of course, when I first went up there, nobody went up there. I had the whole place to myself, and I used to think, gosh, I wish there was a body here to scale. And, of course, I probably helped to publicise it now. So, of course, now it's really popular, and you get lots of people go up, which is good.
One of the ideas you had for this is to help the others living there to really appreciate what's happening, you know, showing people what's changing and what's being lost. Over these 20 years, do you get a feeling that your photographs have generated conversations, have generated awareness?
Yes, I have. Like the people who live there, obviously, like, you know, the main farming families, they see all that, so they know, because they're actually losing their land, you know, because it's falling into the sea over time. But one woman said to me when I was going on about, you know, the ice sheets disappearing and climate change, and she said, well, I can't go to the Arctic or wherever because I can't see it, in effect. I can't relate to loss. So I thought, well, this is showing the people in Taranaki in particular what's happening in our backyard, so you can actually go and see for yourself. Of course, this can be extrapolated to any area in the world. It's just that people need to be aware of it. And if you can concentrate on an area that you really are passionate about, you observe all these changes.
But it is particularly prone to erosion, Pat, isn't it? One of the fastest eroding coastlines in the world, for heaven's sake.
Yes, it is, outside of the polar regions, of course. But, of course, that doesn't mean that other areas now, with the sea level rising, you know, it will impact other coasts. And sand dunes are like the equivalent of the coal miner's canary. When the sea level drops, they're the first to benefit, you know, so they'll build back. So when the sea level rises, they're the first to be lost. And that's what I've noticed, is, you know, the dunes there are being destroyed. And if people can empathise, you know, feel an affinity for a place, then they're more likely to want to preserve it. I'm 76, so people can't empathise with what I've known in the past because it's not there anymore. They can only try and save what they can see now, not realising how much better it was before. It's like every generation is seeing the Earth from an increasingly degraded position. We only have one Earth.
I was reading an article, an interview with you back in 2018, and it said, look, you're going to keep photographing the coastline until 2020. I'm talking to you, of course, in 2022, Pat. Are you still out there with your camera? Can you stop now?
No, because I've done so much, and because Pukeariki, they have archived quite a few of my images. So the main thing is, what's the point of accumulating a lot of knowledge, assuming you have something, you know, that's worthwhile, if you can't pass it on? If it dies with you, what is the point? So as long as I'm able to do it, and of course when you start a thing, you have a lot more images because you're building up your deposit in the bank, so to speak. And, of course, you're learning all the while. So I don't need to go up so often now, but if a huge storm is going to come or something like that, then I can go up and document that and record what's happening. And it would be nice if other people do the same. So it builds up a library of knowledge for future generations so that you're doing it so that in 100 years' time, people can see how it was. But if somebody doesn't record it, they'll never know how it was.
When you're walking along the coastline now, Pat, with your camera, is it sad for you? Because you talked before about the relationship being like family or like a lover, yeah?
Yes, it is. It is sad for me because I've put it this way. When I first went onto the Four Brothers Beach. That was in 2003. I came across some rock stacks that I called the Four Brothers, and they were just magnificent. It was a fantastic, in the middle of winter, it was a fantastic, you know, blue sky day, and there was no one there, and I just felt like a bear in a candy store, and I photographed them. And then another professional photographer said, of course, they were in shade on one side because of the angle of the sun at that time of the year, and she said, oh, they'd be much better if they were better lit. And then 2 months later, the middle brother was destroyed in what I call an alpha storm, which also took out the little sister. So I never had the opportunity to photograph it in great light. And then that sort of triggered that if things are changing so quickly, irrespective of the quality of the light, I need to record what's there at the time because it might not be there the next time round. Yeah, so that's gone. And of course now, instead of Four Brothers, there's only two. And then we had the Twin Arches Cave system, which was absolutely magnificent. And now that's gone. So I've been able to document the complete evolution of the sea cave through to it being destroyed and now a sea stack, which shows how sea stacks are formed. And I don't know whether anyone's sort of done that before. But it also gives a timeline. So, you know, if that's destroyed in that shorter period of time, what does it say the further the sea level rises? Is that going to accelerate land loss?
We have a photograph of Archway Rock, one of your photographs, Pat, taken in 2016. Is that what you were talking about? It's been destroyed?
I think you're referring to the Archway Rock. Yeah, that was all, that was part of a cliff prominence on the Three Sisters Beach. So, yeah, part of that went. So that only lived, I think that only lived a couple of years. Like, it had an archway, which, of course, was great for tourists because they could, you know, stand in there and say, I'm here, and then you had the mountain at the back. So that was really good, but that didn't last very long. But the other one, the Pilot Point Arch, that was destroyed in 2008. We had a superstorm event there, which that changed the coast forever. That gave birth to the new sister. We had multiple cliff collapses. And the thing is the effect of that is still ongoing today. So you can have, you know, these sometimes a massive storm event, which can still impact decades later. People aren't perhaps aware of that.
Pat Greenfield's exhibition, Impermanence, the Tongapurutu Coastline, a 20-year odyssey, has just opened at Puke Ariki Library in New Plymouth.